Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. My name is Scott, and I'm here to talk with Sherry about her recent blog on the recordingandlistening.org website. Welcome, Sherry.
Hi, Scott. I'm happy to be here.
We are happy to have you. I'm so excited. A lot of folks might know and be familiar with the recordingandlistening.org website. It has all kinds of resources for recording and listening. And then there's this little gem in there, too, which is the regular blog that's written that kind of offers insights and helpful hints. And, boy, this last one was just really helpful. And we were wondering if you could share a little bit about what you wrote.
Of course. It's actually my very new favorite thing about recording and listening. So what I wrote about is noticing a bamboozle that conditioning tries a lot with me, which is that something, I might be reading an email class or hear something or read something somewhere else that I'm kind of inspired by, and I'll think, oh, I should record that. And always, I've just been noticing this, always conditioning comes in and says, you can do it later. Then it'll kind of say this little like, man, is that really that important? Or maybe you should sit with it. And it does that little trick.
Yeah, and it does that little trick. I'm smiling because I bet we're all...
Wait, Scott, you got digital. Yeah, I just lost you for a sec. What did you just say?
Oh, I was just saying, can you hear me okay now, Sherry?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I was saying, I was laughing a bit because I bet you we could all just go right along with you as you were describing that. You know, here comes an insight, or we read something inspiring, and here comes the impulse to record. And then right on the heels of that is, well, I mean, is it really that important? Or, you know, maybe we should sit with that for a little while. And I love that one because it can feel kind of convincing. Yeah, maybe I should sit with that for a while. But just seeing that as a bamboozle.
Exactly. And, you know, for probably a lot of the first years when I started doing recording and listening, I bet I got bamboozled by that. But I know something happened at some point where I started paying attention to what it was like to listen to those recordings when I just picked up the recorder and recorded something. And there was a certain presence that was so different than when I wrote down a little note that said, don't forget to record that thing that you read in the email, right? Like, and then I went back and read it, and it was still great to record, but there was a life force that was very different.
Wow. So really just tuning into your experience and really experiencing the life force when that impulse would come up to record and you would just go ahead and do it rather than, you know, oh, I'll do it later. You could really kind of feel that difference in the experience.
Yes. And in doing so, the other thing I noticed is that often it felt as if awareness was kind of waiting for me to turn on the recorder at that moment because there was something that wanted to be said. Life just wanted to say something else, different than what the human, you know, so like I might have thought like, oh, that was really interesting what the guide said in response to that, you know, that email thing. I'm going to record that. But that there was actually oftentimes something else that wanted to come through related to that.
Mm. Boy, we can really tell the amount of attention being paid attention to that process. Because again, I think we can all follow along with that where it's like, oh, that was really great what the guide said. I want to record that. And seeing what's going on there is, that's just almost a cue to turn on the recorder, and we don't actually know what's going to get recorded. That it just seemed, we may think we know, but just turning on that recorder, gosh, what a way to turn to life, right? And that life wanted to speak.
Yes. And so, of course, you know, looking at these steps then, I realized, and this was huge for me when this dropped, that it's like, recording and listening is not about the content.
Uh-huh.
It's not about the content of what I'm recording. It's the process of it.
That is huge because we can all get kind of lost in that it's the content. You know, if I record these certain things or, okay, I'm going to record this now, and that it's not about the content, as we often say, it's about the process. And turning on the recorder and letting life speak seems like the process we're practicing.
Yes. And it's like, it's so, it is so subtle in a way because, you know, mm-hmm. yes, on the surface there are, right? It's like, you know, I think, you know, probably everyone listening has had that experience. You hear the guide say something, you're like, oh yeah, I'm going to record about that. That really inspired me. So it can seem like it's about the content.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah, it can seem like it's the content. That was really great. It really inspired me. And the inspiration is kind of what's talking, not necessarily the what was said or, you know, what
yes.
was kind of, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that that's it. I think that in my experience, that's what gets recorded is that energy of just life force and inspiration and connection and, you know, whatever that you want to call that energy. I noticed
yeah.
that gets recorded and then that's what gets uh-huh. celebrated to later on.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Right. So we could get caught up in the words or the content, but what we're really calibrating to is the energy, is the life force. That's kind of the ultimate practice if I'm following you.
Well, and that's what, you know, that's what it seems like to me. Because it does seem like that there is just, and not, I mean, I still like the other recordings that I make sometimes, but there's just a whole difference in mm-hmm. in energy. And I do feel like, I honestly feel like sometimes when I just get the inspiration, like there was a day last week I was listening to some music and I was just so happy. And I just, something dropped in and said, turn on the recorder. And I just turned it on and there wasn't really any content to say. I was just sort of like, I'm dancing around. I feel really happy. Like, or not, you know, just kind of like,
yeah.
But I love that recording because it's uh-huh. just this human being having fun.
Yes, you love that recording because it's this human being having fun. And I project it takes you right back to that energy, right back to that presence, right back to the joy and the fun. And it doesn't really matter what she says because what you're tuning into is the energy.
That's exactly it, Scott. That's exactly it. It's like it all sort of gets infused in the recording.
It all gets yep. infused in the recording. Isn't that amazing?
Yes!
It all gets transcribed or infused into the recording. You listen back. It brings you right back. That training of calibration I think you mentioned, it brings you right back to that place from which the recording was made.
That's exactly it. And I think I didn't see this before until you and I were just talking about it right now. But I think the reason that I really love that recording is because it's not about something. There wasn't, I mean, yes, there was music playing, but it wasn't like there was really some external something that mm-hmm. that was happening. It was just love. It was just sort of a moment in life of joy.
Mm. Just, yeah. Just a moment of, yeah, because it kind of wants to make it into like, it's something that I can talk about and hold on to. But your experience was, it was just a moment of joy. And I think the other huge point that you're underlying is that its training is, here comes the impulse, and then it trains us to, well, later, which means never record,
right?
Or have a conversation about it. Well, I don't know if it's really all that important to record. And what I've heard you say a couple of times and what you've stated clearly in the blog is that impulse comes in to record and what you're training to do is to respond right away. Yes. And you turn on the recorder without really that agenda of, you know, okay, I'm dancing around, record, great. Okay, I don't know what's going to come out. I'm inspired by something the guy said, great, I don't know what's going to come out. I'm going to turn on the recorder. And it really is that training that we are participating in, which is, yes, life, I'm available. Yes, whatever you offer, yes, as opposed to the other direction.
Yeah. What I've noticed, that what started happening, of course, more and more, which makes perfect sense, because it is a practice of saying yes. It's a practice of just, I love the way you said that, yes, life. But that I've been noticing more and more and more that whenever any impulse comes or intuition, it's that same, I'm training myself now from the recording and listening to then just do it. Oh, call
wow.
my mom? Oh, yes, life, okay. Right, like okay. just,
Yes.
So I could see it extending in other places.
Yeah. Well, we can see by the guide nags us to do recording and listening just for what you just said. I mean, there's the tool and we're practicing, and then we're not using the tool and the training kicks in. We're saying yes to life. We're putting our attention on that life energy, that impulse, and we get to live in that, you know, yes, that joy, that happiness. Yeah, and the recording and listening is training us how to do that in a way you just described so clearly.
I know, it's so exciting. And I
it's
love
so
it.
Exciting.
I think I'm so tickled by it too, because I mean we've been recording and listening as a Sangha for a long time now. And I love that there are always just more places to go. Like, I feel like this has been over the last year or two, I've been really paying attention to this, and it's really solidified for me now. But it's like, wow, where else is it going to take us?
Yes, that's my experience exactly, Sherry. Where else is it going to take us? Wow, I didn't know this was possible. What else is possible? I mean, really like how awareness practices, huh? Gosh, wow,
exactly.
Yeah. Well, Sherry, I see we're at the top of the hour. Is there anything else you wanted to add before we hand the show off?
No, but just to encourage everyone to really, I mean, I know we say this all the time, but yeah, not to buy into that bamboozle of, it'll be fine, I'll just do it later, you know?
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, just see how fun it is to just do it in the moment and the surprise of it.
Yes, just to practice. For the fun of it, doing it in the moment and see what happens.
Yeah, yep.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you. That was fun.
Yes, it was. Okay, Michael, we'll hand the show over to you and Sherry.
Great. Thank you, Scott, and thank you, Sherry. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you
doing?
That
was a fun conversation.
It was.
It was. And I'm good.
Good
I'm
reminder.
Good. How are you?
Good. Yeah, I'm always. It's funny, we asked that right after the conversation like that, and of course we're good. How else would we be? So it's just, it's a lit up conversation, and from lit up people. So.
Yes.
It's joyful. It's exactly what was being talked about. It's turning our attention to presence and to life, and it's a happy time.
Yes, yes. And I was appreciating at the process level to record now, but also to do anything now when the awareness comes in.
Yes, you need to take out the garbage.
Yes.
Now.
Yeah, what now, life?
What now, life? Yeah.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
Yeah, it's great. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the thing I love about practice is it's not complicated. You learn one process, and then you apply it to everything.
That's really true. And the longer we practice, the simpler it is. We have all these little things that we say all the time, and when we first encounter them, they sound like they're different things. Then we realize, no, they're all the same thing. It's like the precepts. You know, people who first encounter the precepts think, okay, well, now this is about that, and that's about that, and that's about that. So I got all these things I got to focus on and work on and all that. And then one day you realize, oh, they're all the same. They're all saying exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Be here.
Be here. Be kind.
Yeah, and if you're here, you will be kind.
Yes.
So it's very simple, very straightforward. Not always a walk in the park to get there, but manageable.
Yes. Yes. Great. Mm-hmm. Shall I jump into announcements?
Please.
Okay. There are still a few slots available in the New Year's Retreat, December 27 through January 1st in Menlo Park, California. The retreat features meditation, group discussions, yoga, guidance with you, Sherry, and free time to spend in nature on the beautiful, spacious grounds.
And I think actually it's two spots. So if somebody is teetering on the edge, teeter on over, because we'd love to have you there if you want to be there. Anybody who wants to be there, we would love to have there. That's what it comes down
to. Great. Reflective Listening Buddies is a powerful support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present on a weekly basis. And a new quarter begins January 15th.
Mm-hmm. Start the new year off right.
Yes. And for these and other opportunities in 2018, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show to indicate your desire by pressing *6 and then 1. Conversation on one topic in about 5 minutes is really great.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we are ready here. Sherry, you ready?
Ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Good evening, Sherry. This is Claire, and I'm here with Martin.
Well, hello there, you two. How are you?
Well, thank you. So we have been noticing how when the bad wolf talks to Martin, things happen. And then I'm kind of involved and the bad wolf talks to me, and we both get in this sick place and we want to have a change.
So wait, right there. So the bad wolf... The voice that talks to us about unhappy, unpleasant, angry, upset things is there with Martin, talking to Martin. And then the voice, the same voice, is talking to you.
Yes.
And it doesn't go well. Is that where we are?
That's where we are, indeed. I'm not sure how much Martin wants to speak, so I'm just going to speak about what goes on with me. Is that okay?
It's okay with me, if it's okay with Martin.
Is that okay with you, Martin? Yep. Yeah. So the little bit of content is that, so the process starts with Martin and then goes to me. So for about 6 months, some of the things that Martin used to do by himself, the bad wolf tells him he can't do by himself anymore. So then what happens with me is that then I get stuck in a place of feeling like, as a good mom, I need to like support him and be with him. But then I also get frustrated and angry because sometimes I have other things like that I feel that I need to do, and I get mad that the bad wolf is convincing Martin that he can't do these things.
Okay, so can you? I know we don't want to get too much into content, but. Like, can you give me a couple of those things that used to be manageable and now no longer are?
Can you give a couple of things, Martin?
When they go to the gym and I'm not able to contact them.
Ah, okay. So, Claire, you're going to go to the gym.
Yeah, with
and,
this, so, with,
and Martin this, can't this, contact you.
Yeah, when I go to the gym, when Mommy and Daddy go together, and he can't contact us.
Uh-huh. And the problem with that is?
That's the problem is that can you speak, Martin, what the problem is when he can't contact us? See, that's a part of it, it seems to me, in that the bad wolf tells Martin that there's a big problem, but then we can't really nail down what it is.
Uh-huh. So is it possibly as simple as, I don't like it?
No.
or it makes me nervous?
It's better, but better than I don't like it, but I still don't think it's over then.
I couldn't understand that last little bit.
It's that's closer than I don't like it, but I don't think that's what it is.
Uh-huh. Okay. And so are you curious, Martin, to find out what it is? Would you like this to be different?
Yeah.
Okay, you'd like it if your mom and dad could go off to the gym. And you wouldn't be able, you know, you can't get hold of them for that, whatever period of time that is, and you're fine with that. You would rather be living in that place.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so are you curious to find out in the sense that, so if, say, tomorrow,
yeah,
probably not, but since it's Wednesday, but maybe, tomorrow your mom and dad are going to go to the gym, and you're going to do whatever you do. You stay home or you go to the library or whatever it is that you do. And you pay really close attention to what happens to you. So if you start hearing voices that say, I don't want this, I don't like this, this makes me nervous or I get anxious or whatever it is that you're being told, and you just kind of write that down. You just jot that down. Or if you got your phone, you record it into your phone or whatever it is. And you just watch what happens. You know, what happens with your body? What happens with your stomach? What happens with your heartbeat? What happens with any voices in your head or whatever it is that goes on? Then when they come home, you can tell them what happened. And the thing that will be helpful and important, I think, about this is you'll do this process, and they'll come home, and you'll actually be fine. Okay, so what you'll learn over time is no matter what the voices are saying or no matter what's happening with your sweaty palms or whatever that is, you're fine. You're all right. And that's what you're really proving to yourself. It's kind of like when people have a fear of something, like a fear of heights, what we encourage them to do is just go someplace, like maybe they're afraid of elevators because they have to go up really high in a building. So you just go and look at the elevator and get used to that. And then you go stand in the elevator and get used to that. And then you go up one floor and you get used to that. And then you go up two floors. And maybe that's too much right there, so you go back and, hey, we're just going to do one floor for a while until you get really comfortable with it. It's really easy. Yeah, I know all about this. Yeah, I can do this. And then you try two again. And in that same way, we prove to ourselves that I can go through this and I'll be fine.
Okay.
How does that sound?
Sure, sounds good.
Because you know, you could negotiate a deal with your folks, Martin, where instead of them going, I don't know, maybe they go to the gym for 2 hours. You know how people are. They just go to the gym and work out and exercise for a long time. But maybe you could work a deal with them where they only go for half an hour. And during that time you're paying really close attention and you know they're gonna be back in half an hour. And so you watch what happens. Then when they come home, you guys talk about it and what did you see and what happened. And then maybe the next time they go for 40 minutes. And now you're prepared. You know what's going to happen because you went through it once. And you just keep going like that until you get to the point of, yeah, I'm fine. Because you will be.
Okay.
All right. You want to try it?
Maybe.
Maybe? Where does maybe come from?
I don't know.
Yeah, how about yes or no?
No.
No. So how come?
Mm.
don't know.
Well, there has to be a reason. And, of course, it starts sounding like you don't want it to be different.
Okay.
Yeah. And so in that case, can you see what that's like for your folks, that they can't do something for themselves, something that takes care of them, because you don't want them to be able to do that?
Yeah.
What do you see about that? Does that feel fair? Does that feel fair?
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, do you want to stay in that's not fair, or do you want to work on something that would be fair to everybody?
Work on something that would be fair to everybody.
Okay. All right. And so you want to start out with the 30 minutes? They go for 30
sure.
minutes? Mm-hmm. And you'll keep track. You're like a scientist now. Okay, you're doing a science experiment here. What happens to this guy in these 30 minutes? You want to watch everything. Write it all down so that you can report back and get to the point where you can do this thing, which is going to, I project it's going to feel really good to you, because it's it gets a person's self-esteem and confidence when they can do something that feels hard, but stay with it, stay with it, stay with it, stay with it until it's easy.
Okay.
Good deal. Will you let me know how it goes?
Sure.
Yeah?
Sure.
Okay. Is that a yes or a no? I can't tell.
It's a yes.
Okay. Good man. All right. Claire, how are you with that?
Thank you, Sherry. I think that Martin is doing great. And
good.
I really want to, you know, support him and myself to be free and to do the things that I love and to support the people that I love to do the things that they love.
Yes. Well, and that's what it really comes down to, isn't it? That's what we're all learning, is to care about everyone's experience, not just my own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really important life lesson to learn. Makes us makes us generous and makes us kind, and people appreciate that about us. So I think you two are going to be able to manage this. But let me know.
Thank you.
Either
and
way.
It's also been a gift for me to look at how my conditioning gets in the way of me living a full life. Like when I see that I'm angry at Martin's conditioning, then I get to look at how my bad wolf stops me from living my life fully. So I've been looking more at that. So there's a remaining
right.
gift.
Yeah, right. Because we're never seeing something in somebody else that we're not able to find in ourselves if we're open to looking.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right,
so thank you
very much.
We'll keep you posted.
Right. Thank you. I appreciate that. All right,
bye.
Have fun, you two. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Claire and Martin. And Sherry, what I got from that is that we are here to be scientists, and we need to have the willingness to be scientists to see how everything
yes.
works.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I was just responding to somebody in the email class, as a matter of fact, that who was clearly in a place of, I'm choosing that negative experience because I'm being told that it's better than what would happen if I didn't choose it, which is really a terrible place to get stuck in life. You know, I'm afraid to risk letting go of this torture because maybe there'd be something worse. And, oh my gosh, when the voices have us stuck in a place like that, that's just terrible. There's just no there's no hope for us until we let go of that kind of thinking. The voice is making me so afraid of the future that I can't live now. That's not
right.
That's not anything we want to go along with.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, everybody. This is Rico.
Hello,
hey, Rico.
How are you?
Well, I'm upright and breathing, so that's a good sign.
That is always a good deal, isn't it?
Well, yeah, particularly for me, I've had difficulties in that area, so I'm gratitude for just a clear breath.
Well, you know, Rico, when I say that, what I'm hoping all of us will stop and take a look at is we just assume that's a given, right? I can do that. And then we hit a little patch in life where, well, actually, I can't. And then we realize how much we take for granted. And you're not doing that, are you?
Well,
you're no longer in that taking it for granted stage.
But, you know, it's we talk about gratitude, but I have clean water, safe water. Every morning I start my day with water. I almost weep just for clean water, and then I turn a little knob and I have a flame to heat the water for tea, and I can push a button and I have heat in my house, and I open this white box and there's all this fresh fruit to eat. It's like miracle after miracle after miracle.
Yeah. And from that place, we can agree that it is very, very sad that conditioning has us miss that. I mean, until we catch on and stop missing it. But just ignore that, take it for granted, not know it's happening because I'm concerned about some little something. You know, somebody said something
exactly
that I didn't like. Yeah.
Yep. So anyway, Sherry, I had a specific question in mind, and I've been saying this, I don't know, thousands of times with we are here to end suffering, to see how we cause ourselves to suffer. Mm-hmm. And recently I had a dental emergency, and the dentist said, well, it looks like a major extraction of a root canal and just like 3 hours in the chair. And as I think it was on Friday was my appointment. And as I made my breakfast and I sat and I did my chores and my other parts of practice, as long as I kept my attention on now what was happening, I was perfectly okay. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, phobic memories of previous encounters started to creep in.
Of a dental kind?
Well, no, actually, not exactly a dental kind, but what was curious is I think I've had 9 or 10 pretty serious orthopedic surgeries, and it never bothered me in the least. But sitting in the dental chair for 3 hours, I was doing inquiry. Well, what about that is so distressing? Hmm. And wait a second, I'm here. What is causing me to suffer right now? What is causing me to suffer right now? And then in a flash, it came to me an event that happened to me almost 70 years ago. I was plugged into something that my God, that's 70 years, and that's still running me. And it was, do I say it's gone forever? No, but and maybe a little explanation is I had a pretty serious case of chickenpox, and in those days, they would restrain the infant with wrist strapping against the crib. And I actually remember that. And, you know, back in the 60s, we did every kind of therapy you can imagine. And I relived it, and I thought I'd let it go. But still, that kind of claustrophobia from being restrained arose when I was preparing to do this 3-hour sit in the dentist chair. And I just had this kind of release. And, and I don't know, I mean, and it went great. It went great.
Oh,
and,
good.
I'm just
good. So Rico, just so you know, we're in solidarity because I'm in a dental crisis right now. So we are kindred spirits. So I'm taking. I mean, it's not as dramatic as yours. It's bad enough. But I'm taking heart from this. And the thing that I want to kind of underline with that is, so conditioning wants us to be so, with what was going on with you this morning, you were meant to go in a lot of directions. One is just kind of unnerved. The second is in a place of self-judgment, self-hate, because you are. You know, what's the matter with you? That kind of thing. And so that's what we're supposed to do. But you've been practicing, so that's not what you're doing. You're doing a process that is sometimes we'll call it focusing, right? Where you're just staying with an experience with an attitude, not catechizing, but just an attitude of, what is this? What is this? A curious, open, what is going on here? And sooner or later, in this case, thank goodness, sooner, it occurred to you. It came to you. You realized what it was. And in realizing that, there's the relief of letting it go. Now, as you said, is it gone forever? Perhaps not. But it's gone right now because it was brought into conscious awareness, accepted, and without anything resisting it, it can just fall away.
Well,
yeah.
I have a lot more dental work to do. In fact,
oh,
I have a neighbor. I have a neighbor who said we're in the we've entered the age of extraction.
Oh dear, that's not good news, is it?
So it's funny. It's a new dentist. And she's terrific, and I just felt, and her mother works in the office, and it's all women in the office. It's just so sweet and soft, and I heard a quote. Actually, I listened to a recording I did, I don't know, more than a year ago, and I was reading a quote from Rumi on the recording about seek those areas which you fear.
Yeah.
And I
yeah,
realized
exactly.
that
yep.
Unconsciously I've adopted this rather than a preventive approach to dentistry. It's been like I'm an emergency kind of guy, you know. I'm only going in when things are falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, and this isn't to sound high-minded or noble, but I just say, what an amazing, perfect practice opportunity
mm-hmm.
to engage in releasing fear about this old tape from decades and decades ago that is still running. And what a perfect opportunity to be with these sweet ladies in this dental office, a tiny little office. And it's like, oh, this is the path
perfect.
To freedom in a dental chair.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And if we apply that, that wisdom, you know, again, we're held in bondage, we're kept in torture because we're told we can't face things. It's going to be too hard, it's going to be painful. I'll hide out from it for as long as possible.
That's the word, exactly.
What's available to us is just come at it head on. Here I am. Come on. What? Come on. This is a safe place. It's all right. Acceptance is here. And
what it was like that hit it right there, hiding out. It had caught me unawares that I couldn't put my finger on it. I had like six reasons why, you know, I'm at my max with the dental fund and I can't, you know, all that baloney, all those reasons were baloney. They were just too, I don't know how to say it.
Ego hiding out. Ego
well,
hiding
giving,
out.
Giving me good reasons to avoid what Rumi said, those areas that keep me prisoner.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, I'll be thinking of you, especially since we're in solidarity. So we will stay in touch, okay?
All right. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Rico.
Thank you,
take care.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Rico. Sherry, what came to mind to me is the wisdom of no escape and the willingness that arises seemingly only in those situations.
Yes. Yeah, we don't even know we're avoiding, right?
Yes.
Because we don't know the situation is there. And so to have it brought into conscious awareness is just so helpful. Because, again, there's just nothing, there is nothing that isn't going to bring us a gift. There's just nothing to be afraid of, nothing we can't stand, nothing that's going to be so awful. There just isn't any of that. It's all that conversation with the fear that wants us to be afraid of it.
Wow, that's such a freeing idea. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's true.
And it's true. Wow. Sherry, we are going to hear from our recording and listening program, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. RL is based on a radical idea that we could live in a conversation about what is true, what is real, what is arising in life in the moment, instead of with the voices of karmic conditioning. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We now have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report finding refuge in my own voice, strengthening the awareness of the mentor, and experiencing the 6 weeks as transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old-timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply go to livingcompassion.org. Click on Practice to find 2017 programs and then Recording and Listening Training. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence this year with the support of Recording and Listening.
And welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller.
Oh, Michael, it just occurred to me with that that we better change that and have that program go to 2018 because we're almost finished with 2017, aren't we? Isn't that staggering?
Yes, we are.
Oh, okay, sorry. Staggering. We have somebody else.
No problem. Here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Christine.
Hello, hey, Christine.
Hi. Oh, so I'm practicing what the last two callers are practicing, and that is dropping what's going on in my head, which is that this event, this thing that I have to do is going to, that I can't do it and it's not going to work out and, you know, all this stress around this thing. And then when I'm told, I think that the thing that makes it, the conditioning, the way that conditioning makes it even all worse is that I'm told that this has to do with school and a final exam and a practical. And I'm told that the instructor just doesn't like me. And, you know, I'm performing in front of the instructor, you know, showing my skills. A way to go about, I understand that I really just need to drop that. I mean, somebody likes me, somebody doesn't like me. I mean, I know as an adult and as just a whatever, that just needs to be dropped. I mean, that just doesn't matter, but it does matter, kind of. I guess.
Well, I'm curious. I'm curious about this. So, is this a kind of arena where that could be addressed?
No, somebody liking me or not liking me.
Well, but if it were framed liking me or not liking me, but if it were framed as, I feel like there's something I'm doing, or I feel like somehow I'm not meeting a standard. Is that true? Is there something that is there a way that I'm approaching this, or a way that I'm, that,
mm-hmm.
So it's not, I don't need to ask if whether or not
No.
you like me.
No,
But if I feel that there's something in the way of our being able to have the kind of relationship that we need to have,
mm-hmm.
then can that be addressed?
I don't see how it could. Isn't that crazy?
Uh-huh.
I don't. Uh-huh. And so basically conditioning just gives me evidence. You know, see this is evidence that she doesn't like you, this is evidence, and now this, et cetera. And so, you know, I practice dropping all that and just doing my work and et cetera. I don't.
When is this exam going to take place?
On Thursday.
Oh, dear. Okay. All right. I think we're definitely down to the wire here, huh?
Yeah.
So you're really clear that it's just torturing you, right?
Yeah, and it comes up, and then I can drop it for a while, and then I, you know, it can be gone, but then, you know, it cycles around, and it comes up again. You know, she doesn't, you know, you shouldn't even be in this program. She, you know, she didn't want you in it at the beginning. I mean, all this whole awful stuff. I mean, that is so mean. And the conditioning is so mean, of course. We know that. But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, so it cycles around and gets me again.
Uh-huh. And is this, do you think the underlying point of this particular brand of torture is to distract you so that you actually won't do well in the test? Is that the point?
That could be the point, not do well in the test, not do well in this program, not succeed. I mean, it was hard to get in, and so finally I did. And then, yeah, to not succeed, I guess. I guess, yes, it's probably, you know, it didn't want me to get in, and then now it doesn't want me to succeed while I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Wow. There's just no mystery about this, is there? I mean, aside from the it's coming up day after tomorrow aspect of this, how much our dedication to getting rid of this
mm-hmm.
grows, right? I mean, to be in that kind of situation, and of course, you know, we want you to do well and, you know, to be successful and all of that. And in addition, because, you know, it'll affect your career and all of those kinds of things. But in addition, my God, what a course in how really despicable egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is. How utterly without merit are the voices in the head.
Yep. And isn't it interesting how after this is all over and we have many weeks off of school that I can just forget all about it? You know, it's easy to forget how awful conditioning is. It's like, it's almost like, you know, it's doing this and I'm doing my best to survive it. And then and then it switches to something else. The content changes and then I forget.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, Christine, it's like in There's Nothing Wrong With You, the battering cycle.
Mm-hmm.
It's a battering cycle. So it's the abusive partner. So the stress builds up and builds up and builds up and builds up, and it just gets so awful and so ugly. And so, and then it comes to a head. And then we go back to, okay, well, that's behind us. And we just need to get on with our lives, and we're fine now. And then the stress begins to build, and the cycle repeats again. And it's exactly what goes on in conditioned mind, just like in that kind of relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that seems the thing that comes out of this, because there's not a lot we can do about Thursday at this point, right? But how not to forget? Because whether it's doing it at this, you know, really has the claws in and going for the kill, which it gets to at this kind of juncture, it's always there doing the same process to you. It's always attempting to undermine you and cut you down and make you feel bad and you know, that process is always going on, you know, even though it gets very subtle.
Yeah. Yeah, this is just, I can't ignore this as well as I can ignore when it's subtle.
Yeah, and ignoring it, of course, is not what we want to do.
I know.
Kind of like,
so
back to we go back to Rico's tooth, right? Ignoring it is actually not what we want to do. We want to end that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if Rico's going to have that tooth pulled. We kind of hope not, unless it's for the best. But what is that called when you pull a tooth out?
Extraction.
I'm getting words like excavate. Extraction. I knew excavate was it. Yeah. We want to extract that process from your head.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Not just ignore it, because ignoring it means that it's able to be there low level doing that to you all the time. We want to eradicate it.
Yeah.
Right? Which can only, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And so when we talk about turning the attention, it can seem like, well, isn't that ignoring it? But it's actually not, because in ignoring it, it's like if your eyes can go in two directions at once, one eye is on that and the other eye is on whatever else is going on in life.
Mm-hmm.
When it's eradicated, it's gone. We have turned attention away from it such that there's nothing maintaining it any longer. That's what we're going for.
Yes, so normally when I'm out hiking, I can see that it's still there. I have one eye on it, and wow, this is an amazing day. So glad I got out to hike. I'm noticing it, and I'm turning my attention, and I'm enjoying the day, and I'm enjoying that moment.
Mm-hmm. And so what we're practicing is getting both eyes on the day.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's just good to remember, especially because of what you said about the awareness that you'll survive this crisis and just kind of go back to that low-level one eye on it, not being tortured like this by it, but aware of it, giving attention to it, knowing it's there, because, of course, that just means it's kind of in wait, right? It's just over there resting up, waiting for the next time that it can produce a crisis where it gets all the energy, which it sounds like it has in this.
Yeah. Okay, so right now, I mean, I think I understand, but right now I'm not clear about when I'm ignoring it and when I just have two eyes on the beauty of my hike.
Well, what you said is you know that it's there.
Yeah.
Right? You're aware that it's there. Even though you're enjoying the beauty of the day, you know it's there. And what we're practicing is moving attention to presence such that you actually don't know it's there because it isn't. Now,
but what about ignoring it?
Well, ignoring it is it's there, but I'm not going to give all my attention to it. It only gets one eye.
Oh,
okay,
I thought ignoring
so
it would be, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I know. That's why we're going through this. So two eyes on it, you're caught in it, right? It's got you. There is no beautiful day out there. There's just this. It's caught you in torture. Then we move to that kind of halfway place where I've got one eye on it and one eye on the day. So I'm out hiking, but I'm aware that that's there lurking in the background. And where we're going is two eyes on the hike.
Yeah.
Nothing is maintaining that. And it's a process. I'm not saying it's going to, you know, probably happen by tonight. Because, as Rico was pointing out, even though it goes away for extended periods of time, you're not mm-hmm. looking at it at all, it doesn't mean it's not lurking there. Because, you know, it's karma. As we've noticed, we'll come around when there's an opening. So if something is like something that happened in the past, there's the connection. Okay, all right, we've got, and it's trying to move into a more dominant position in our awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So what to do now, I would suggest recordings that consist of whatever your version is of I love you no matter what.
Yeah. 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 It
doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If nobody else likes you, I like you.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Good. Focus on that. Do lots of that as you study or whatever. Whenever the voice comes up, just flip on that recorder and say, okay, well, that lie was blah, blah, blah. And the truth of the matter is, I'm a very likable person, and lots of people like me. Not everybody, perhaps, but that's their loss, really.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Christine.
Okay.
Let me know, okay? Let me know how it goes.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you
I appreciate that very much. You are so
thank
very
you.
Welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Christine.
Sherry, what I loved about that was just the really detailed looking, going into detail on how things work and how the karma works and how to be free of it. It's just so helpful.
Yeah, we really can't snooze for a moment,
mm-hmm.
right? And which is not a problem because snoozing is suffering, and being present isn't. So it's not a problem that we're required to be present all the time, although the voices of karma would tell us that's a problem. Right? So, yeah, so we're always paying attention, listening to that still small voice, watching for those insights, seeing it come together.
Yes, great.
Glorious. Mm-hmm.
And we have time for another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael and everybody. It's Janice calling from Maui.
Oh, Janice. You are still on Maui, you little devil, you.
Yes, and I'm just loving this entire radio show today from the very beginning. The lit up excitement that it doesn't really matter what the content is, and just press record.
Yes. That was big, wasn't it? That was powerful. Don't
it
get
was.
Too into the content. It's the process, and that point that was made that the lit up process communicates. So I don't have to have any relationship at all with whatever that person is talking about. That person's really lit up, and I get lit up just listening to that person.
Yes, and I just wanted to explain what had happened to me today was that because my partner couldn't come for health reasons, today I had some information, and there was something really distressing in some of the things that were being communicated to me that I'm just not there to help with. And I could see that being, I could really see the wanting to be a scientist and investigate where is this, and that are the two eyes on conditioning, or am I cross-eyed, or I'd like to be present.
I hadn't seen that one, but that's possible too, isn't it? The eye that's usually, yeah.
So I made some time to communicate, and I communicated with other people that could communicate, who are around or, at least in the same country. And and then I had an appointment, so I went, and the appointment was really just to take care of me, take care of my body and my well-being. And I just saw it as a really important job, was to come back and be here for me, because I don't know what's going to happen when I get back.
Yes. Yeah. And you can't be there for anybody else. You can't be there for him if you're not there for you.
Yeah. And that's something that I've realized. That's that practice even of, it's not exactly a phobia, but, when you were talking earlier with the callers about, practicing something little by little by little and proving to yourself you can do it is the, wow, that is, that's sure ending suffering for more than one person.
Yes. We're not meant to see that, right? But it is such a gift to everybody. My teacher used to talk about it as, it's kind of funny in this context, but being a social relief. When we really know how to take care of ourselves, then nobody needs to worry about us. They don't need to waste any of their precious life force attending to us. right? Because we're fine. And we can be of assistance to anybody who doesn't know yet that they're fine.
Mm. Yeah. So
I'm critical. Yeah,
it is critical. And I had this, after the appointment and I was walking back, would have been a great time for conditioning to just start up again. And as I was walking back, so I just wanted to just say, this was a wonderful little, not really the content and complete disidentification. I heard a dove cooing to another dove. And I have a little rescued dove at home that's like, he was rescued by somebody else and given to me 22 years ago. So this is quite an amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. That's what I, yeah.
How long do they live?
Well, I don't think they would normally live that long because they have no real defense mechanism other than being in a flock. So he's in our flock.
My gosh.
Yeah, amazing. I know. It's totally amazing. And what I did is it was just like it occurred to me, like I walked past and then I walked right back and I turned on the recorder. I put the doves on the recorder and I cooed back and forth to them and then it turned to me and started bowing and we just had this little 30-second recording. And then I got in the room and I sent the recording to my husband and I said, you know, can you play this for the bird? And it was just, talk about disidentification. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't about him anymore. It wasn't about me. He just said, oh, he loved it.
Just the perfect thing.
It was the perfect thing.
He felt cooed to as well.
I think we all felt cooed to. And there wasn't a lot of, you know, content in that one. That was just like three syllables. I love
well,
it.
Well, and it is what Sherry and Scott were talking about, isn't it? You just
it
do
is.
It. There's the impulse, and you just do it. And then it's so, it right. That's such a terrible word for it, but it's the right word. It's just so right in every direction.
Yes, and even though it dropped in, I heard that voice kind of when I was walking away. And, you know, it was just like it just said, stop and go back.
And you listened and you did it.
Yeah. Talk about excavating. Getting rid. What was it? That extracting and extruding the voices, just like they're out of there, and they're wow. Two eyes in the present moment.
Yes. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. How long? How much longer are you going to be there?
I'm getting back to Vancouver on the Thursday night late, and then Friday morning I'll be back in time for going to a doctor's appointment with him. We've got that. That was the thing that got set up today. We need to talk to somebody else. So that was a voice dropping in that, you know, I can't do it all, and we shouldn't have to do all this.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
There is help. Might as well avail yourself of it. And then it's another experience of the dove. You know, it's what does that open up? What's there with that?
Yes.
Who's headed your way now? What little dove is on its way to this flock?
Yes, I love that image. I love that. Talk about it. Well, there it is. There's the piece right there.
Yeah. Well, it's
thank
wonderful
you.
To think of you there enjoying Maui, and I'm glad you're going to be on your way back and all of that. So you continue to take good care of yourself.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm surfing the undulations.
Yes, aren't we all, huh? Yeah. All right. Thank you, Janet.
Thank you for being an amazing role model, I feel, of unconditional love.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Bye-bye. Gotcha.
Thanks for joining us, Janice. Wow, Sherry. Kind of out of words here. Another fabulous show.
Big, huh? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much, yeah. Michael. And thank you very much. we'll just go with that. Thank you very much. All right.
Thank you
Talk
very much.
You soon.
And I'll be thinking of you and your dental healing.
Oh, thank you. Sending healing to the... Yes thank you very much. I appreciate that. All right.
You're
Take
welcome.
Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.